Hello, this is Kindergarten Cop, and I will be reading from the Decatur Herald and Review. This is Friday, November 28th, 2025. I will begin with an article titled "Decatur Volunteers Give Thanks by Giving Back" by Valerie Wells. Troy Carberry attended Faith Fellowship Christian Church for the first time on November 23rd, and right away knew he'd found a church home. People were dancing and praising God, and I thought, this is my kind of place, said Carberry, who also attended the church's pre-Thanksgiving meal on Wednesday. I want to spend my time with Christians who are trying to change their lives and be better people. The church holds its community meal free to anyone who shows up on the day before Thanksgiving, because on Thanksgiving Day, volunteers help the Reverend Wayne Dunning deliver meals to people who are working on the holiday. This year, they have 50 people on that list who are working at gas stations, pharmacies, and other businesses that will be open. George Washington, whose sister Anna does most of the cooking for the feast, said he wanted to celebrate his blessings from God. With no family nearby, Christina and Mike Reynolds chose to spend the eve of the holiday with their church family at Faith Fellowship. Everybody here is like family, Christina Reynolds said. It's like a big family, and I don't have any family in Illinois. Giving up some of her own holiday to serve others brings its own rewards, said Anna Washington, who is the culinary captain at Faith. I'm serving the Lord and serving my church family, she said. I feel blessed. I spent particularly half my life cooking, working at Old Country Buffet, Hometown Buffet. I love to cook, and I love to serve people, too. Vinnie Barbie has been serving Thanksgiving meals at Water Street Mission for 24 years, even after he retired from running his three restaurants in 2012. I can't stop, Barbie said. It's probably a guaranteed. With all the work and feeding and cleanup, 30 hours of work in a 24-hour period. But once it gets started, you don't look at the hours. You look at the finished product, the smiles. He always serves on Thanksgiving Day, he said, because it's the day when people without homes are looking for the community and celebration of the holiday. We're going to have it that day, and we're going to make sure it stays that day, Barbie said. That's the day they're looking at for that meal. Then we come back home and see our kids, and the kids know what Mom and Dad do on Thanksgiving morning. We go to Water Street Mission. I like to say my Thanksgiving family are there, and we feed them. Bill Dietz has been close friends with Barbie since the men were in elementary school together, and he calls Barbie his brother. He helps Barbie with the Thanksgiving meal, with his toy drive, which is already underway, to provide Christmas toys to children in need, with Barbie's annual Easter meal, and with his neighborhood block party, anytime Barbie needs an extra pair of hands. We get caught up in our own lives, Dietz said. I began to feel the need to help out the community, and the first person I thought of was Vinny. He's been like that his whole life, always wanted to give. Deb McCamick's late husband, Mick, was director of Decatur Cares Rescue Mission, and serving unhoused people is a cause still dear to her heart, she said. She helps out with the annual Thanksgiving meal, and so do her grandchildren, who began pitching in starting at very young ages. This year, two are 18, one is 12, and one is 10, and the two eldest have been helping out for several years already. Some of the individuals served may be in a struggle of their own, choices or choices that were made for them, and they just need to be happy and thankful like the rest of us, she said. And I've always felt that way, even when my husband was director. I was there every week, and I just love the people. And along with this article, there are several pictures. One picture is of George Washington enjoying his Thanksgiving meal at Faith Fellowship Christian Church with others in line behind him. Another picture is of Anna Washington Left dishing up food for Christina Reynolds, Renee Hunt, and Jesse Knotts at Faith Fellowship Christian Church. Another photo is of Anna Washington with help from church van driver Eddie Brockell filling up serving pans prior to the pre-Thanksgiving feast at Faith Fellowship Christian Church. And the last photo with this article is of Bill Dietz and Vinnie Barbie dishing up Thanksgiving meals for people at Water Street Mission. And now I will read an education article titled MacArthur Grad Returns to Chart Path to Success. Brian Hunt Also Studied at Millikan by Valerie Wells. Everything is a ladder, and you're either going up or down. That was the thrust of the message Brian Hunt had for MacArthur High School students in Wayne Dunning's Introduction to Computers, Business Applications, and Careers class. Hunt, a longtime friend of fellow Millikan University alum Dunning, is also a graduate of MacArthur, and Dunning asked him to speak to his students about his path to success and owning his own business, Professional Parking Enforcement Incorporated, with offices in San Francisco and Las Vegas. "When I was your age, I never thought about parking," Hunt told the students. "Decatur's size and configuration don't lend themselves to parking as a business or career," he said. "But in a big city, parking is not only a major issue, it is a business, and a lucrative one at that." After graduating from Millikan, Hunt worked at Six Flags performing in a diving show, and one of the stunts he did was putting on a fireproof suit, setting it ablaze, and diving from a platform. While he said he hopes none of the students ever does a thing like that, it was his first experience with taking a risk for a greater reward, which has served him well in his career. After that, he worked for Busch Stadium, managing a parking garage, which led to working all over the world, from Charleston, South Carolina, where he knew no one, to helping build the Kuala Lumpur Malaysia City Center and the Petronas City Towers, 88 stories high and the tallest building in the world until 2004. It took 10 days just to pour the concrete foundations for those towers. He moved 8 times in 15 years before he decided it was time to stop traveling so much. He started his own business, Professional Parking Enforcement Incorporated, 22 years ago, which serves a niche market of homeowners associations. "I started a small company for freedom," Hunt said, explaining that while he still has schedules to keep, having his own company gives him control over his life that he didn't have while working for a large international company. "The formula for success," he said, "is finding that niche market, having a strong foundation, taking risks, and having mentors," which he told the students they will have to go out and find for themselves, people who can help and advise them. "They need to make good choices and think of long-term goals, because there are no shortcuts. And today's $5 coffee, for example, could grow into a tidy savings account if they save that money instead." Freshman Olivia Walston, whose father owns his own business, Walston's Auto Wrecking, said she wants to be a lawyer, and she knows she has a lot of hard work ahead of her to get there, but was inspired by Hunt's words. What he said, "It took me a lot to realize that the people you hang around with can always downplay you," she said. "Choose your friends wisely, 100%. That's what my dad taught me." Bradley Horges said, "You can learn from those who have already succeeded. I hope to learn how to be a businessman and learn from other people the things I need to know," he said. "It was good advice," said Comed Srisandwan, who is thinking of mechanical engineering for a career. "How to be good at life, how to be successful, and how to find good opportunities, and how to spend life in the future." Along with this article, there are two photos. The first one is Brian Hunt presents his path to success as a guest speaker in Wayne Dunning's careers class at MacArthur High School in Decatur on Tuesday, November 18th, and shows a picture of Hunt smiling as he takes questions from the audience. The second photo is Brian Hunt telling students about his path to success while returning to his alma mater, MacArthur High School in Decatur, on Tuesday, November 18th. Hunt was a guest speaker that day in Wayne Dunning's careers course, and the photo shows Brian Hunt speaking to the audience. And now I will read an article from Crime Courts, titled Decatur Shooting Leaves 19-Year-Old Man Dead by Scott Perry. Decatur police are investigating the shooting death of a 19-year-old man. According to a news release, officers responded at approximately 5:42 p.m. Wednesday to a report of shots fired with a gunshot victim at a business in the 500th block of North Water Street. Upon arrival, officers located a 19-year-old male subject with at least one apparent gunshot wound. The victim was transported by ambulance to Decatur Memorial Hospital, where he was pronounced deceased, the release said. Detectives from the Criminal Investigations Division responded to the scene to process evidence, obtain video surveillance, and interview witnesses. This remains an active investigation, and detectives continue to follow up on investigative leads. Anyone with information about this shooting is encouraged to contact the department's Criminal Investigations Division at 217-424-2734 or Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477. Another story from Crime Courts titled Boyfriend Defending Girlfriend Gets Stabbed, Cops Report, by Tony Reed. Police report that a Decatur man was stabbed while defending his girlfriend who was being harassed at a downtown gas station. A sworn affidavit said the 22-year-old boyfriend was interviewed by Decatur Police Department officers while being treated at the hospital after the attack. I observed the victim to have a 3 to 4 inch laceration on his left shoulder, said Officer Kyler Moreland, who signed the affidavit. The boyfriend told police he had been called to the Circle K gas station in the 500th block of North Main Street just before 3:46 a.m. November 26th. He said he had received multiple phone calls about a man later identified as Tony Tyus Sr. who was causing distress to his 26-year-old girlfriend. Moreland said the boyfriend told him he had been attacked as soon as he approached the doors of the gas station. He was met by an older male who immediately lunged at him, Moreland added. He said the male threw what appeared at the time to be two right hooks toward him, making contact with his left shoulder, said Moreland. The boyfriend said he believed he saw the male holding a dark-colored box cutter in his right hand when making contact with his left shoulder. Moreland said the two men began exchanging blows, during which Tyus reached into a pocket and pulled out another knife. The boyfriend said he backed away from the front doors of Circle K to lure the male away from the other customers and his girlfriend, Moreland said. At one stage, the boyfriend said Tyus tried to get inside the boyfriend's parked van, but the boyfriend kicked the door shut before retreating into the gas station. Moreland said officers arrived to find Tyus was still on the gas station property and he was arrested there and a box cutter and pocket knife seized as evidence. Tyus was not listed as saying anything before he was taken into custody. He was arraigned Wednesday in Macon County Circuit Court on two counts of aggravated battery involving the use of a deadly weapon in a public place. Judge Lindsey Shelton told Tyus he was too dangerous to be granted pretrial release and ordered him held in the Macon County Jail. The defendant is due back in court December 17th for a pretrial hearing when he will enter pleas to the charges. Now I will turn to a sports article from the Decatur Turkey Tournament This article is titled Five Takeaways from Decatur Turkey Tournament Round 1, MacArthur Shows Depth and Energy by Will Foley. Round 1 of the 55th annual Decatur Turkey Tournament came to a close Wednesday night as the bottom of the bracket wrapped up play. In an action-packed two nights, four winners advanced one round closer to a title, while the other four teams fell into the consolation bracket. It's early in the season, but the field showed who they are and who they can become throughout the year. Here are five takeaways from the opening four games of the tournament. MacArthur is loaded with options. Along with star forward Sean Lee returning for his senior year, multiple contributing generals returned, along with a trio of transfers from Eisenhower, to Sean Clemens, JT Moore, and DeMonte Phillips. Loaded with depth and multiple options, opposing teams will have to pick their poison, as Springfield Southeast discovered in a 76-40 result. One thing we worried about with the guys transferring from Eisenhower was how everything was going to mix, but I feel like everybody played as a team today, head coach Therese Bryson said. Nobody cared about who scored. That's a good thing. MacArthur's depth will prove meaningful throughout the season, especially with the team's defensive style. Operating a non-stop full-court press and hounding the opposing ball handler, the generals aren't afraid to be physical, and it often pays off with countless forced turnovers resulting in transition opportunities. Here at MacArthur, we try to be a program where we're about playing defense, Bryson said. If we play some defense, we'll win. Our boys worked on practicing a lot of pressure, and I think they did a good job of helping each other out and playing good defense. Four different scorers crossed double digits for MacArthur on Wednesday. Senior guard Kamir Carson led with 15 points. Clemens scored 14, Moore added 13, and senior forward Ja'Cory Murphy contributed 11, including a crowd-exploding poster dunk. Eisenhower will be gritty, defensive-minded. Eisenhower wasn't able to pull off the opening night upset, but it did prove itself a worthy opponent against Peoria, and one that will challenge teams all year long. The Panthers struggled getting the ball in the basket, aside from senior guard Garion Henderson's 20 points, but they countered by making it just as hard for the Lions. They showed several different defensive looks, like a 1-2-2 full-court press and a matchup zone that Peoria struggled to solve. It's always game to game. It depends on your opponent, head coach Terry Cook said. Physically, we're not very big, putting us in the best position to try and rebound the basketball and compete on the inside, and things like that is what I need to do. Eisenhower took a hit against the Lions when 6'4" senior Marcus Page got into foul trouble early in the third quarter. Page is the Panthers' sole back-to-the-basket and interior defending presence, and it showed when Peoria increased its success inside after. When play resumes on Friday, Eisenhower will face Sacred Heart Griffin in the consolation bracket, another team that lacks size. Bolingbrook's size, guard talent prove overwhelming. Speaking of size, the Raiders aren't lacking in it. Behind a front line of five players 6'5" or taller, Bolingbrook took full advantage against an undersized SHG. The Raiders utilized their size on the boards, controlling the glass, and repeatedly creating second or more chance opportunities. Without a true big man on the floor, the Cyclones didn't have the personnel to match. Along with a size advantage, Bolingbrook boasted uber-talented guards. Sophomore Brady Pettigrew posted 20 points, and senior TJ Williams added 18, with each able to score at all three levels. At 6'4" and 6'3" respectively, each was able to rise above defenders on jump shots and take it to the rim with ease. After getting upset by Peoria last year, the Raiders are hungry to go to the distance in this tournament. With the size advantage staying true against the rest of the field, on top of the several talented pieces, it's hard to argue against them being the favorites. Manuel's pressure will cause fits. It took a while for the Rams to warm up, but they did so by creating offense on defense. Between a 1-2-2 full court press to open the game, half court traps and on-ball double teams, Manuel swarmed Champaign Central's ball handlers at all times. Along with stifling the Maroons' offense in a 65-39 win, the Rams generated points of their own by doing so. With constantly active hands and sloppy decision-making from Central, Manuel forced several turnovers and took plenty of them back for fast-break layups. The Rams took full advantage of the Maroons' early season rust. Senior guard Reggie Postlewaite and senior forward Joshua Humbles established themselves as Manuel's top scoring options. The former scored 20 points while Humbles added 15. A second-round matchup against MacArthur will provide an up-tempo, physical, defensive game. Peoria High is relentless. The Lions engaged in a scrappy matchup against Eisenhower, but they improved as the game progressed. As previously mentioned, the Panthers threw some different defensive looks at Peoria that took some time to figure out. Once the Lions did, however, they continued to penetrate the paint and attack the rim, taking shots that eventually fell. Peoria was balanced in its scoring. Sophomore guard Nigel Moore led the Lions with 16 points. Junior Phoenix Foy provided 13 points, and sophomore Jacob Duffin Jr. added 10. After graduating star forward and All-State honoree LaShawn Stowers, the Lions needed to figure out who would assume scoring responsibilities when needed. Based off their first matchup, the answer points toward a team effort with plenty of ball movement. Peoria faces a tough matchup against Bolingbrook, but it managed to pull off the upset last year. And now turning to football. This is high school football from the state. This article is titled Josh Jostes, Moroa Forsyth Football Enjoying the Ride Ahead of 2A State Championship by Will Foley. Moroa Forsyth Football is no stranger to this weekend. The Trojans have made the state finals about every other year in the past few decades, 10 times in the last 21 seasons. Though their success rate ultimately hasn't been as desired, winning 2 of its 9 championship bouts in the stretch, the feat itself is nearly unrivaled across the state. Head coach Josh Jostes and Moroa will vie for the 3rd championship trophy on Friday afternoon against Wilmington. While the Trojans have a mental image of hoisting a trophy in their minds, they've taken a step back to look at the bigger picture. This is what high school football is all about. If our kids can make some memories, learn how to deal with adversity, and be winners in life 20 years from now, the win-loss record just hopefully keeps them with a little motivation, Jostes said. It's all about life success, and hopefully we teach some of those lessons too. Wilmington presents itself as a formidable opponent, and it has a strikingly similar resume to Moroa. Jeff Reintz is the man at the helm, marking his 32nd year in charge of the Wildcats. A feat not many can boast, Reintz enters Friday with an even better win percentage than Jostes, with a 297-66 record, 81.8%. Jostes is 247-67, 78.7% in year 26 at Moroa. The Wildcats missed the playoffs in Reintz's first 2 seasons and haven't been excluded ever since 1996. A 3A staple, it wasn't until 2003 that they broke through to their first state championship, which ended with a runner-up finish. More years on the precipice followed, but it took over a decade to finally get another chance for a trophy. In the 2014 season, Wilmington topped Williamsville for its first ever state championship and its second appearance in the game. In 2021, the Wildcats dropped down to 2A for the first time and took full advantage, winning the title with a 14-0 season. 2 years later, they lost their season opener, then won 13 in a row, including a 42-7 drubbing of Maroa in the semifinals to claim another trophy. Last year, Wilmington elevated to 3A again and went 12-1 before falling to eventual state winner Montini in the semifinals. Then, they dropped back to 2A ahead of this season. The Wildcats have been practically unstoppable in 2025. They lost their season opener to 5A semifinalist Morris in a close game and have won all 12 games since. Only one win has been within four touchdowns, and they've won by an average of 46.8 points per game in the playoffs. Wilmington's history is a great testament to what Justice and Maroa have been able to accomplish. Despite Reince's illustrious winning record, the Wildcats are in their fifth title appearance compared to Maroa's 12th all-time and 10th under Justice. However, Wilmington has been able to win more at the big stage. Justice is honest about both sides of the story. "Admittedly so, my record is not very good in state championship games," he said, "but I would take it pretty much over anybody the rest of the time. We've played a lot of teams, best teams ever. We have a bunch of really gritty kids that figure out at least how to put themselves in position to be here, and this group of kids did that too." Maroa's consistent experience is a key ingredient to its postseason success, and why Justice trusts his team to play its best in November, regardless of how the regular season unfolds. Four-year varsity players such as quarterback Ryan Shepard and receiver Zach Smith have played in 54 of 56 possible high school games, with two state final appearances and two semifinal finishes. The Trojans' tradition even precedes high school success with their flag football program that starts with first graders through their JFL team. The bigger picture Justice points toward applies to both the present and the future. Maroa has rallied around the cancer diagnosis of team mascot Matthew Clary, especially with senior lineman and brother Michael Clary on the field. "We're going to go and win state for him," the latter said after Moreau's quarterfinal win over Flora. "The Trojans will have their hands full, but there's a reason they made it this far." Behind its all-state duo of Shepard and Smith, who will end their tenures as two of the best in program history, Maroa fields a talented team with a high-powered offense and a defense that clicked at the end of the regular season. No matter the result on Friday afternoon, it doesn't determine how Justice and the Trojans will look back on the season. As he expressed after the quarterfinal win over Flora, "All there is to feel a sensation of pride and joy. People expect us to be here, but it takes a lot of hard work," he said. "There's a lot of things 14 to 18-year-old kids could do other than what they chose to do for us, so I'm really, really happy for them." Kickoff between Maroa Forsyth and Wilmington in the 2A state championship is set for 1 p.m. Friday at Hancock Stadium in Normal.